Find out what one doctor had to go through to stay faithful to her conscience through medical school, next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. As usual, we're joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director. And today we have a doctor in the house. We have our friend from Naples, Florida, Dr. Angela Flippin-Trainer, who is a pro-life obstetrician and gynecologist with Caritas Obstetrics and Gynecology of Naples. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks for making the trip all the way here to Denton, Texas. And Janet, good to be with you again.
Thank you, Father. And you know, Dr. Angela, we met not long ago at a conference, and I remember we were just over a cup of coffee talking. I remember you telling me about your residency at Cook County Hospital in Illinois. And, you know, we always have heard that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry kind of tempts medical students and people in residency to get involved in abortion. But you really had to stay true to your faith to avoid that temptation. You want to tell our viewers about that?
Well, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, or the training program, the Council of Residency Education Obstetrics and Gynecology, wants residents to be trained in abortion. And it actually is a requirement that all residents be trained in abortion. However, there is a moral clause. So if you morally object to during terminations of pregnancy, you don't have to do them. And at my hospital at Cook County, they actually had a publicly funded abortion clinic that ran 3 days a week in the operating room of the hospital.
Wow. So how did you first come upon this knowledge? I mean, it sounded to me like you were just going about being a resident and then you stumbled upon this knowledge that they were doing these abortions.
Well, we kind of knew that the abortions were going on, but at the time I was a first-year resident, I didn't really know the logistics of how it was done. And our senior resident came to the labor and delivery area where we were all sitting and was upset about something, and she was more annoyed by anything else that we were getting a VIP admission to the GYN service. And I didn't understand why you would be upset that a very important person was getting admitted to our service. I thought that was a good thing until I found out that VIP didn't stand for very important person. In this particular situation, it actually stood for voluntary interruption of pregnancy, and something had not gone well with one of the abortions that they had been doing that evening. And so that person, that woman, was now being put on the GYN service for the residents to take care of for observation.
I see. Now, so now you learned about what VIP really meant at Cook County. Were there any incentives given for people to, like you're saying, like people didn't want to do abortions with the conscience clause, but were there incentives for those who did do them?
The attending staff at the hospital was well compensated for doing these terminations. They did about 20 to 30 VIPs or abortions a night, actually the 3 days a week that they did them. They did 20 to 30 of them, and the attendings were being compensated either $200 or $300 per procedure that they did, and it ran like clockwork upstairs when they were doing the VIP clinic, unlike any other operating room event that occurred up there. This one was run like a military ship.
One after the other. And you would think, too, because now someone who's in that position probably has a big loans of student loans to pay back for medical school. This is a very tempting thing to get on top of their residency stipend salaries, like bonuses for doing these abortions.
People who was the attending staff who predominantly collected the money for doing the interruptions of pregnancy, but it was very lucrative for them to do it. I mean, it was well worth their while to do it. They might not make it to work that day to see patients in the clinic, but they would be there for the terminations.
They would never miss their shift at termination.
Correct.
Unbelievable. Now, did you have difficulty coming against this, like standing up for your conscience, standing up for your faith? Did you come against
Certainly there was ridicule or pressure.
My entire class actually, fortunately, chose to take the moral clause, and none of us did terminations, but there was certainly a very strong pressure from the residency program director that we should seriously consider getting trained in them, and that we might not want to be an abortionist, and certainly the hospital didn't want to train us to become abortion doctors, but that we might want to offer these to our private patients, that sometimes this happens and that this is a common occurrence that happens in the regular private physician's office, and that we should seriously consider learning how to do them.
Yeah. And, you know, many people think that this kind of pressure went on in the 80s and the 90s, but we're talking about in this century, just recently, that
I graduated from residency in 2002.
Right. So this practice is still ongoing as far as you know.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Angela, when we talk about training in abortion, aren't we predominantly talking about desensitizing these people to killing a living human being? I mean to say, aren't the techniques essentially the same as what you would learn for various legitimate procedures, such as needing to do a D&C to remove tissue that is not a living child?
It is essentially the same procedure as you do for a first trimester miscarriage when someone has lost their baby. So they will pressure you and say, well, it's not exactly the same. The cervix is different. And it's not exactly the same because the body's not ready to expel a living being. So, no, it's not exactly the same. But essentially, it's a procedure that many of us do on a regular basis for people who've lost a child.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to follow up on this, one of the phrases you just used is so important. I often point out in my talks on abortion that it does not really qualify to be called a medical procedure. And like you just said, the body not being ready to expel a living being, well, that's because the body in pregnancy is meant to do, it's geared to do something very specific, which is protect and nurture this child. When we think of medical procedures, we think of procedures, interventions, medications that are helping the body do what it's supposed to do but is having some trouble doing. And it seems to me abortion is exactly the opposite. The body is doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's doing it very well. And we're going in there and we're putting it all in reverse. We're putting it to a dead stop. What are your thoughts on that as an OBGYN?
As an OB, I cannot understand how we can press to save life and press to help people who've lost babies early in pregnancy at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. How we can have women spending thousands of dollars, morally or immorally, trying to have children and have a family, and on the same side, or in the turn of a coin, say, okay, it's okay to terminate. It's okay. This isn't a real person.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Angela, I would like to ask you, though, as far as the woman's health is concerned, because you're saying having an abortion is not what the body is supposed to do at that point. And I know from the testimonies of women who've had abortions that very often, you know, they had that abortion because they were pressured. It was a quick fix. They thought they could move on. And then when they wanted to have children, couldn't have them, became sterile or would have miscarriage after miscarriage. Why is that? Like, as a doctor speaking now to women, their health, what damage and what, how is their body, their reproductive organs compromised during an abortion?
Well, first, when you have a surgical abortion, they dilate the cervix and they artificially open the cervix, which can make the cervix weaker because you've forced open something that was supposed to stay closed, and that can make it weaker for future pregnancies. And any time you take sharp instruments and put them inside the uterus, you have the potential of creating a significant amount of scar tissue within the uterus, so that the very fact that this woman had these instruments put into the uterine cavity means that you can cause significant damage and make it difficult for them to actually have a baby successfully in the future.
When they want to. That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
And like, see what you said about the cervix being a muscle. So then that really makes the sense of why these women then have, when they want the baby, miscarry, because as that pregnancy gets along further, the cervix has been weakened. So therefore they lose the child before they're supposed to. And then I've heard that so many girls can't conceive, and that must be that scarring tissue then on the lining of the uterus. The embryo can implant in the uterus because of all that scarring.
And some other things that happen because people feel it's their right to be sexually active when they probably shouldn't be, and their right to control their families and control their fertility. They also delay childbearing to such an age where it is actually difficult for them to conceive. Mm-hmm. You've now put off childbearing until you're in late 30s, because now it's convenient for you to have a baby and then discover that really your biological time clock is ticking and that your fertility is an issue.
Yeah. So it's really, God's plan is really the right plan when you think about it. You know, the more science and we try to be in control like this, we're actually losing control, because then when we want to have children, we're unable to.
Well, we want to talk about some of the experiences you've had in delivering children, and we'll do that after we take a short break. So friends, please stay with us as we return with Janet and Dr. Angela in just a moment.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today, and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Angela Flippin-Trainer from Naples, Florida, pro-life obstetrician and gynecologist. We need pro-life obstetricians and gynecologists like yourself. And, you know, it's amazing. People say to me, we talk about our Priests for Life organization, and they say, well, what do you mean Priests for Life? Isn't every priest for life? I say, wait a minute. We've got Doctors for Life. Can't we say the same thing there? Shouldn't every doctor, why should you have to have a pro-life physicians group? It should be, belongs to the very essence of being a doctor. And yet we know we have to have these pro-life efforts precisely because we have to bring our professional skills to bear on this crisis of the culture of death. But you've delivered babies. How many have you been privileged to deliver up till today?
A couple thousand.
That's amazing. You know, I've baptized quite a few babies, and I often think back to them. I wonder what they're doing, how they're doing, pray for them and whatnot. Do you get the joy of having some of these children come back to you in later years?
Well, I haven't been a doctor long enough to have my deliveries come back to me yet.
Okay. But you will, though.
For a while, but I'm not quite that old yet. Hopefully my babies are just now hitting teenage years.
Okay.
They're just now entering the fight.
Mm-hmm. But eventually.
But that's an awesome privilege. That's really something. I mean, it's a privilege for parents to cooperate with God in creating new life by saying yes to that life. But then you come in and get that baby through those final hours.
You know, I often think about, you know, when you think about abortion, and it's legal through all 9 months of pregnancy here, and if you open up the yellow pages, you see ads where, you know, in certain states, abortion up to 24 weeks, 26 weeks, 28 weeks. They're advertising this. Could you tell us, from your experience, what is the youngest child that survived that you have delivered in gestation?
That I know about. Mm-hmm. Right now, I currently have a patient who delivered a 23-weeker a few weeks ago, and the baby is still alive and kicking with no neurologic damage, fighting every step of the way. We're now 7 weeks after delivery, and it's truly miraculous that
23 weeks.
That's incredible.
What is that? I mean, statistically, the percentage, when does it cross 50%? It's around that time.
About 24 weeks.
50% survival rate. The issue after that point is basically lung development and flesh on the bones, right? I mean, it's
neurologic and lung development, because it's difficult for these babies. They'd be better inside.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're advancing more and more.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, another big issue that comes up, I know we get calls to our office all the time, is that a woman in her pregnancy, they discover there's a problem with either with her health or with the baby. And, of course, too many doctors are now recommending an abortion for that patient. Could you just address that for our listeners and tell them, you know, is there ever a case when you would abort a child? Or what is the correct medical protocol when they come up to this, like, oh, the health of the mother, the life of the mother, or if there's something wrong with the baby? Could you just help us with that a little bit?
To me, there's almost no circumstance where you could not manage the mother some other way than terminating her child. It might mean that she might be in the hospital for a while, but there are almost no circumstances in which you really need to allow the patient to have an abortion where that is the best choice.
Right.
All of these patients could be managed in the hospital setting if necessary to watch the mom physiologically try as hard as you possibly could to get the baby to viability or beyond, mm-hmm. and deliver her after that.
Right.
And even in cases where the baby isn't at viability, I mean, isn't the protocol not to do an abortion? Like, you know, these procedures that you see where they pull out the arms and the legs and all that. I mean, to me, that just seems so traumatic for the mother. I mean, to put her through that kind of a procedure, more dangerous. And, you know, even the cases where the baby has died in utero, isn't a more natural thing to deliver the child and then let the mother have closure with losing their child?
When I was in residency, I went to see a second trimester termination. At the time, I was Baptist and not particularly pro-life in that. I thought that terminations were okay for fetal anomalies. So I had been told that this baby was 20 weeks and was being aborted for Down syndrome. And at my particular hospital, they couldn't find the instruments, so nobody was doing the D&E procedure. So I went to see the dilatation and evacuation because I was a resident and the college told me that this was what I was supposed to be able to do. And I could not believe what I was seeing. I truly couldn't believe that I was seeing someone take an instrument and watching the baby's organs come out of the vagina, how artificial this was, and then to actually discover that this was not a 20-weeker, that this was a 24-weeker on a 15-year-old whose mom just found out she was pregnant was even more vile to me, that I was seeing a baby being ripped from limb to limb. So, and that picture, that image still sticks in my mind. So when my husband and I lost our son at 21 weeks in utero last summer, and I had that choice to make for myself, I said that there was no way that I was going to think that my son was going to be destroyed like that, that that was not honoring the little life that we did have with him when he was within my womb. I did not think was the right thing to do.
Mm. Right.
Powerful.
So, I mean, in those cases, they just deliver the baby and then they can bury the child.
My labor was induced and we had the privilege of burying him and having a funeral for him.
Well, I know people can find more about this if they go to your website where they can be in touch with you. And thank you for your stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Angela, for being with us. And brothers and sisters, on our website, gospeloflife.com, you'll see a link for pro-life doctors. You'll be able to find listings in communities near you of those who, like Dr. Angela, adhere to the pro-life ethic as they carry out their special responsibilities as physicians. Stay with us now. We'll be back with our action segment.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome, friends, to our action segment. Today I want to talk to you about YouTube. Janet, everybody has his or her own television channel now. YouTube, this video website, makes it possible for any and every person to put up videos, as many of them as they want, short videos, 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes they go up to 10 minutes, that let them express themselves in whatever way they want, convey any message that they want. It's a fabulous way of communicating.
Well, you know, very often, Father, we complain that on the secular media, they won't show what an abortion is. They won't show any of our pro-life messages on secular TV, on commercials. It's like a blackout. This is a great opportunity by using the Internet. It's like our own TV channel. And at Gospel of Life, we have our own TV channel. Maybe you could explain to us how to get there and what do we do with it.
Well, if you go to YouTube.com, YouTube.com, then you'll see that there are, you know, a channel is a page that somebody puts up. So if you go to Father Frank Pavone, F-R-F-R-A-N-K-P-A-V-O-N-E, that's my particular YouTube page. And we have a lot of our abortion videos there and messages like we convey on this program. So you just see the video there, you click it, and you play it. The channels are free. And the videos, we're not talking about sophisticated equipment like we have here in this studio. We're talking about, you know, any kind of home video or even sometimes a cell phone camera video. It's very, very, very ordinary types of videos that people are making. So you see young children make them, and you're sitting there talking into the camera, or you bring the camera to different events. What we did, of course, as you know, is we made several of them with the abortion procedure, and we're putting them up there constantly.
Matter of fact, in the first 4 weeks that we put up one of these procedures, we got over 100,000 views in the first 4 weeks, which is incredible. So we want our viewers to kind of get engaged into this new technology to spread the pro-life message.
Sure, because we can put things on YouTube that we could never get on secular television. And when people make their own YouTube page, they can then subscribe to ours or to any others that they want to promote, because the more they subscribe to certain videos, the easier it will be for other people to then see those videos, because they go to their page and they see the subscription to ours. They can put them among their favorites. Or on YouTube, you can join groups as well, where people discuss and share videos and comments about particular topics. And furthermore, as videos are posted on YouTube, people can type in text comments. Oh, that was a great video. That was a great point you made. Or people will type in comments that they disagree with what was said. And you have a whole big discussion going out for everybody to see.
And they're also rated, too. They give these little ratings of everyone and what they think of that particular YouTube. So we need our listeners to get engaged in this new media,
exactly.
YouTube.
That's right. Go to YouTube.com, friends, and see the videos that we have there. Now, I'd also like to send you some other tools for your pro-life work. You'll see I'm taking right out of my pocket this booklet called Pro-Life Answers. Our friend Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics, where we tape these programs, and I have been distributing these booklets far and wide. We want to send you your free copy. It has answers to the most common arguments of abortion supporters. You will feel confident. You will feel equipped to be able to cut through the rhetoric and to convince people that the pro-life position is correct. So contact us at Gospel of Life. Pro-Life Answers booklet. We'd like to send it to you today free of charge. Another thing we'd like to send you is the will to live. Many people wonder about what is right, what is wrong in making medical decisions in the course of an illness or at the end of life, and are afraid that if they're not able to speak for themselves, that the right thing is not going to be done. Well, a will to live allows you not only to appoint someone to speak for you, but also to do so in a pro-life way that protects you in the maximum protection that you won't be deprived of something that you do want as a reasonable treatment. Contact us. We'll send you more information about the will to live. And finally, would you consider supporting our work? We really need your assistance to continue to get these programs out to every one of our fellow citizens and to do the many projects that we talk about on this program, like the spreading of the videos on YouTube. Let's work together to build a culture of life. Let's pray for each other each day. Go to our website for these and more resources, and we'll see you next week.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.